WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Seemed to be preaching. I spoke out a prophecy. Watch for a sign in the sky. It will come because a paradigm, our prophetic shift in the earth. So I began my sermon today with what I don't know. I usually do. I tell you what I don't know up front, and then we take the word and we try to figure it out together, and I leave it with you to figure out. In the dream, I was even second-guessing myself that I would make such a statement, and why would I make such a statement? That was even in the dream. So the next day, of course, I was pondering the dream and thinking about it, and I considered it could be another North Korean missile. So I checked the date of the last one, and it was on the 28th, so my dream was after the last missile. So I posted it on Facebook to encourage feedback, see what kind of feedback I would get from the people. And I got this so far. I don't know what else is on there this morning. Saturday night, 12/2/17, that was last night, there was a super moon. Signs in the sky with another man. Now, these are things people posted. Signs in the sky would be of divine origin, not man-made. Indicating they would not think it would be a Korean missile. I'm just giving you what people are saying. Voyager 1's thrusters were fired up for the first time since 1980. enabling the astronauts to reorient the Voyager 1 so it's more pointed toward Earth. This happened the last couple of days. A sun halo display in Europe, which was a phenomenon that no one had ever seen before. So I'm praying and asking the Lord to give me more insight into the stream and what does it mean. So I'm asking him, as I always do when he shows me something, how do you want me to pray? I don't ever pray and tell God what to do, just so y'all know. I know there's people that direct God in their prayers. He's just never told me to do that. I always pray and ask him, God, what do you say? And what do you think? And what do you want to do?
The word.
This week, we continue to watch as our government leaders are coming into judgment for their sins. Mm-hmm. And the cover-up of their sins. I was busy all day yesterday, so I didn't see any news yesterday. And as I understand it, although I didn't see it on news this morning, the Senate passed the tax bill.
Yes.
Now, you would think that would be the biggest news of the day. But there's an FBI agent that they have discovered who has been in collusion with the Obama administration and the Democratic Party to overturn Donald Trump. That was what was on the news this morning, and I only got 5-minute segments of it.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, see, they said last week that they thought they had something on Trump, and it was a nothing. It was nothing, because it was always already after he'd been elected. It was after the election. Okay, every time they do that, it backfires on them, and it turns back on them.
Yes.
So this morning we find out there's an FBI agent who has been coordinating these things all along and who is part of the Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. And we know about the cover-up of those sins, the slush fund. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me that Congress doesn't know where $84,000 went. Thousands of dollars go out the door to pay off these people. Somebody knows where that money went. Mm-hmm. We must know this. It is only the hand of the Lord who's exposing and judging these sins. God is moving in judgment on the earth. God is moving in a special way. Matthew 11, 21 through 24. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the mighty works which were done in you and have been done in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Wow. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, and will be brought down to Hades. Mm. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. When God brings forth a righteous person, and a person who stands in righteousness, the righteousness of that person will bring judgment on the earth. Mm. The righteousness of Noah brought judgment, brought in the flood. Yeah. When God raises up a righteous person, that righteousness brings forth judgment. Wow. And that's all through the Bible.
Yes. Wow.
Last week, I spoke of those heroes of faith who fulfill their kingdom destiny and purposes, that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. Forces were set in motion by them that continue to operate even today. The grave cannot silence their witness, for the fruits of holiness and righteousness lives on. You've heard me tell of when I was in India and I went to the Apostle Thomas's graveside. The power of the anointing in that room, I mean, those bones speak. They just have one piece of his bones, but let me tell you, your righteous bones will continue to speak after you're dead. Because the righteousness that is in your bones is the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood that feeds those bones is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it's not going to die when you die.
Amen.
The grave cannot silence their witness, for the fruits of holiness and righteousness lives on. There are also those who did not fulfill their destiny, and the fruit of their failure also lives on, and we talked about that last week, as we talked about those who did not fulfill their destiny, and we're still experiencing the fruit of their failures.
Yes, that's right.
In the Middle East.
That's right.
All the goodness and love that we deposit into the lives of people lives on in the spirit. That's the reason wherever I go, no matter how bad the situation may be, I make deposits of love and life. Love and life. Troubled people need spoken into their life. You see, you won't have to admonish them for the lack of righteousness, because your righteousness, if you're walking in it, will cause them to come into judgment.
Amen.
The evil that we do will also bear fruit.
Amen.
C.R. Oliver has a book, Holiness and Righteousness, and calls them the regal pair. He tells a story of it happened in Russia. It's called A Voice from the Grave. He says an international ministry was seeking to distribute Bibles in Russia. And because of a logistics problem, the flow of Bibles from their central distribution station in Moscow slowed down to a trickle and could not meet the demand for the areas they were endeavoring to cover. Being in the city of Stavropol, and am I saying that right? Oksana, Stavropol, Stavropol. Stavropol. Not too far off. I didn't say it quite as fancy as you did.
It's okay, yeah.
I got close. They heard about the history of the city in the 1930s. This has been fairly recent, like in the last 7 or 8 years this happened. This is a true story. It was there that Stalin ordered the confiscation of all Bibles in the area. Great persecution fell upon the citizens of the city. The Christians were sent to prison. Most died. They were declared state enemies, and their properties and belongings were taken by a vengeful police. Their righteous saints underwent terrific trials for their faith. You can remember, church, during the Obama administration, that being a Christian, we were almost a state enemy. One of the State Departments or one of the departments put out the enemy list. But the Bible group heard about a warehouse outside the city which had been used to house these confiscated scriptures. They wondered if the Bibles were still there. After prayer, they requested the officials of the city to verify this as a fact and allow them to use these Bibles in their activities. If their information was true, they were granted permission, and the Bibles were still there. On site with several local laborers, the Bibles were loaded on distribution vans, which would be used to reach the people of Stavropol. Among the laborers was a young student who openly declared his agnosticism, stating he was there for the wages he would receive. We have a lot of that going on in the church. During the operations, an overseer of the contract group heard it yesterday, noticed that the agnostic collegiate had disappeared. Upon searching for him, the overseer found him in a separated section of the warehouse, reading one of the Bibles and weeping as he read. Confessing his intentions to steal one of the Bibles to sell for gain, opened the cover to discover the name of his grandmother. Now, this is a true story. It only happened just a few years ago. Overtaken by her signature and knowing some of the persecution she had endured for her faith, he was drawn to read. Undoubtedly, she marked sections which were her favorite passages for written notes, as many are drawn to do so. Her righteousness became irresistible in that moment and drew him into the Word. God took the written Word and her testimony of righteousness and work salvation in the heart of this unbelieving grandson. Her prayers, her faithfulness could not be daunted, even by years of after her death. It is the power of righteousness is inherently irresistible.
Amen.
It will live on after you.
Mm-hmm.
It will not die with you in the grave. Generations of righteous saints have come and gone through history and seemingly passing. My ink went out here, so I can't see my notes, but I think I can improvise. They live lives in the spirit and before God. And the world judged them quaint and not noteworthy. But their lives are still living. Their righteousness still lives. It still lives in you. Every prayer your parents prayed for you, every parent your grandparents prayed for you. I have an aunt that I know that her prayers brought me here to this day.
Yes.
It's living on. Your prayers continue to live. Amen. Don't give up on those loved ones. It might just be like this grandson who was hell-bent on a life of total evil. That the Bible of this grandmother came into his hands. Luke 11:49-52. Therefore the wisdom of God also said, I want you to hear this scripture. The wisdom of God speaks.
Yes.
The wisdom of God speaks. I said, the wisdom of God also said. So we know that God is wisdom and that God speaks, but the wisdom of God speaks. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which were shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yet I say to you, it shall be required of this generation, woe unto you lawyers. For you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you did not enter into in yourself, and them that were entering in you hindered. I looked up the word for lawyers, that is King James Version. And lawyers means legal, civil law there, but also those who were teaching the law of the Old Testament. So it has a dual meaning.
Okay,
so I felt like I was quickened when I read that scripture, and I felt like that it was a judgment of righteousness. Yeah. That the Lord was speaking upon those lawyers in California that freed the killer of Kate Stein. Do you get that?
Yes.
I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it again. The righteousness of the Word of God. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. And you did not enter in yourselves. And them that were entering in, you hindered. I speak that to the lawyers in California.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And while I was preaching a while ago, the Lord spoke to me about something else. I'm thinking, should I pray about this a little bit or what? Oh, I was in Paris, at the Paris Peace Accord. What is it? Not Paris Peace Accord. What's it called? Is that what it's called? Paris. It's about the
climate
thing. And I spoke this word, I guess, just talking. Just sometimes I'm just talking, but I'm not just talking. I'm not just talking. And I said, on the way here, I said, there's going to be a private funding group take over this Paris climate change. Obama's over there setting it up, and it's going to become privately funded by wealthy people from all over the world, and it's now going to become a private funding, and Obama's going to be over it. It's going to be a money making deal for Obama.
Sheesh.
Okay, let me move on with the sermon. I don't have that written down, so you don't have that. No one has that, okay?
Okay, we got it now.
We got it. You've heard from your recording.
Is it strong today?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so Jesus said that in that generation, that they will be judged more harshly than any generation, and that he would require judgment of them from the time of the beginning up to his time. He pronounced a judgment the likes of which has never been heard in history. You know why? The righteous one was standing in their midst. And his righteousness that was in him automatically brought judgment, because of God's righteousness automatically brought judgment up into his day. Because his righteousness required that judgment. The magnitude of punishment was not understood fully by those who heard his words. The world doesn't know what's going on right now. But Christians, you do. Jesus said, in essence, God and I are holding this generation responsible for all the blood of righteous people that has ever been shed in all of history to this point. That's what he said. Because his righteousness and his visitation and his standing in their midst required that judgment. Now, we're under a visitation. The earth is under a visitation of judgment. We must see it. I pray every day, get this out of me. If I have a thought of aggravation, get this out of me. Get this out of me. There is none righteous. No, not one. We all walk bent over before God.
Yeah.
Righteous precludes its right to judgment. Righteous judgment is always correct, no matter how fierce its affront. Righteousness allowed Jesus to hold his earth generation responsible for all the righteous blood ever shed, for they were about to shed the most righteous blood. So his death was our salvation. His death was our redemption. His death was the forgiveness of our sins. It was our healing. It was our resurrection from the dead.
Yes.
But his death was also judgment for all the unrighteous up until his day. The Word of God says it. Jesus said his earth generation was a judgment turning point in history, and there had to be a reckoning. Righteousness carries with it a sword and a mantle. The Word of God is Jesus' sword. When he rides upon his white horse in the book of Revelation, his sword is upon his side and is called the Word of God. Righteousness carries with it a sword and a mantle. It is possessed by the heart of the Heavenly Father and dwells in like manner in every person whom the Father acknowledges and dwells in. Within the scope of righteousness is the work of judgment. Judgment is built into righteousness. And just as the Lord is righteous in his judgment, so the souls of righteous saints lead to reckoning judgment. Righteous judgment is poised in these last days carry out its duties in answer to the blood of martyrs crying out for their hour. This generation is the one upon whom the requirement falls. Prophetically, this hour stands as a turning point in history. The dream I had. Carolyn, watch for a sign in the sky. It will cause a paradigm and prophetic shift to the nation. What does that mean? I don't know. But I know that we're standing at a turning point in history. It started in 2016 when the Lord began to overturn. He overturned ministries. He overturned governments. He overturned government leaders. He's overturning Congress. He's overturning the FBI. He's overturning every branch of our government. He's rearranging ministries. He's rearranging us.
Amen.
He's rearranging me.
Amen.
What was once isn't anymore. We've got to go when he goes. We've got to move when he moves.
Yes.
Righteous reckoning is taking place in a way which exceeds the pronouncement about Jesus' earthly generation. Who among us cannot say that the Lord's judgments are on the earth? Just as Jesus required his generation to hear the judgment for all the righteous blood spilled since the beginning of time, the 21st century church is being held responsible for all unrighteousness, the compromise, the fleshly deeds, the atrocities, the twisted doctrines. Oh, God. And I'm thinking and I'm listening to people and I'm thinking, God, what do I know? What do I know, God? I'm preaching the word, but what do I know? I know nothing. Insidious hypocrisy characterizing the church age since the days of the disciples. I know I shared Tuesday morning, and I think I may have shared last week, a dream that I had in November about two churches of the age. But you will do well to listen to me again, because this is one of the motivations for this sermon. And why I was stirred to preach this message the 1st of December. Okay, dream. I walked into a mall, and if you dream about a mall in a dream, that means the world system, the cosmos, to attend a progressive church. I knew that where I was going. The door was wide open. There was no door. That means everything's wide open. I sat on the back row to observe. I had someone with me. The pastor came down the aisle smoking a pipe.
Mm.
Now, you know the metaphor, someone smoking a pipe, that means they're like way out there.
Yes.
The congregation was chatting and sharing their ideas on marijuana, same-sex marriage, fornication. They were worshiping their ideas. Their ideas was their God. I was immediately, I was transferred, translated, I guess, to a denominational church.
Uh-oh.
And it was a Methodist church. I'll go ahead and say which denomination it was. Since I'm talking straight out today, I'll just talk straight. Okay, but when I came in the door, the service was over. But there was a lady there who recognized me by the Spirit. A remnant lady. She recognized the Spirit of God. She walked over to me and asked me to pray for her. When I did, she fell in the Spirit and she cried out, "Revival is here." Immediately, the people began to gather around me, asking me about the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, dreams and visions. They did not know anything about the Holy Spirit. They did not know who he was. They didn't know about the gifts. They didn't know how they operated. They didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Now, I grew up in that denomination. And I can tell you the day that I went to ask my pastor, and I said, "Who is the Holy Spirit?" I read the Bible, and I knew I was supposed to have him, and probably everything that I was failing in my life was because I didn't have him. They had no knowledge of the things of the Spirit, and they were hungry. They were asking me all kinds of questions. Well, what about dreams? What about speaking in tongues? What about the gifts of the Spirit? How do you know the Holy Spirit? Who is that? They were just bombarding me with questions. Then from the four corners of the church, I saw four deaconesses enter. And they were observing me and judging what I was saying, and then that was the end of the dream. Okay, I believe this was a visual snapshot of the state of the church of the 21st century.
Yes. 100%.
Except for the remnant church.
Except for the remnant.
I believe the Lord showed me this is what's going on in my churches. I heard this week some of this come out of some folks' mouth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're separated from all that, Eastgate Ministries, and many churches are, that know the Spirit. But there are masses of people out there going to church on Sunday. They're either going to a progressive church or they're going to a church where they don't even know who the Holy Spirit is and don't know anything about Him.
That's right.
I was one of those at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Strong today, God. One of my sweet sermons.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I believe the mantle of righteousness is falling upon those called forth to form a kingdom of the righteous. And the sword of righteous judgment is about to be revealed on those and in that kingdom. Standing here in this beautiful home, so gracious and lovely, Tom and Diana's home. During this time of transition, the Lord has us on. I've been blessed to be invited and received in this beautiful home. But let me tell you, church world out there, we've got some hungry people sitting in this room today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They made this journey out here today. We're in Richmond, Texas, right, Chris, Diana?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where is Diana?
In the back.
And she's in the, okay.
She's coming.
She didn't hear me brag on how beautiful home, how beautiful everything is for Christmas.
Tom did.
But, church, I stand before God amazed.
Yes.
We have a room full of beautiful people that made this journey out here this Christmas morning. We don't even have a building.
Yes.
We don't have a church.
Building without hands.
But they're hungry. There's no reason for them to come if they're not hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
So, great in this time of history that the righteous are to be known for their boldness in Him. Mm. It's going to be a boldness come forth in the church.
Yes.
Mm. Where you're going to speak with boldness.
Yes.
I spoke with boldness.
Yes.
They're and you don't have to beat them up. You don't have to put them down.
Right.
You don't condemn them. You don't take a hammer and knock them in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You don't choke them. You just stand there in who God made you to be, and you say the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You don't argue with them. You don't debate the word of God with anyone. You just say, it is written.
Amen.
It is written. But in the fact that you are being that word, that will carry more power than any hammer you got in your hand.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Now you can say, Carolyn, you're preaching good today.
Oh, Carolyn, you're preaching good today. Real good.
These people, when they come forth, their holy hearts will engender spiritual deeds not recorded since the days of the prophets and patriarchs. It has to. The end time church has to come forth as an overcoming church. There has to be an overcoming church.
Yes.
The only way it's going to be an overcoming church is the power of God is going to rest on them.
Yes.
And it's only through the power of God that they will be able to move and bring a change in the world.
Amen.
They will be personified in the two witnesses slain because of their testimony, but raised by God's power to walk and live again. Oh, you're not going to walk in this ministry. You're not going to walk in righteousness. You're not going to walk and speak and declare truth wherever you go. You're not going to declare this word of God like it is written unless somebody's going to try to take you down and slay you because they do not want you preaching it because they don't have the courage to do it.
right.
Undefeated. I hope y'all come back next Sunday. Undefeated, unstoppable, irresistible. The righteous are about to be revealed in power.
Yes.
Righteousness and holiness are inseparable in the heart of God and in the hearts of his people.
Mm.
Holiness and righteousness cannot be defined apart from each other.
Mm.
They cannot exist apart from each other.
All right.
The breath of one is the breath of the other. Inseparable, because no righteousness ever existed apart from a heart made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was preaching on the Zoe, the life of God that Jesus said that was released through his blood into us when we received the communion. In the life of the blood of Jesus Christ is all the power of the Godhead. All the fullness of God is in the life of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are made holy by that blood. And we are being sanctified. And we are being revealed to be the sons of God.
Yes. Indeed.
Holiness and righteousness coexist in the arms of each other. They are the essence of heavenly marriage and define their roles in Jesus and the bride. God revealed at the offset, if God's earth work and God's earth work in the first five books of the Bible, that the journey into righteousness and holiness would begin with him. He who is called holy by angels and man is also known as the righteous judge.
Mm.
Just as he must be reckoned with, and he will.
Amen.
I've had the hand of God on my life. I fear God. I know what it is to have the hand of God on my life. And he will be reckoned with. So all righteous souls find themselves in a world that must deal with their essence and being. Some of the world will embrace them, and others seek to destroy them. And if you are speaking and preaching and proclaiming the word of God, if you're speaking righteousness and holiness, if you're calling forth people to live in righteousness and holiness, there are people who will not come around you.
Amen.
As I said, righteousness carries a sword and a mantle.
Yes.
I think I shared Tuesday morning. It was somebody posted on Facebook. Someone had posted about repenting of sin or something. So some guy came in there and said, we don't have to repent of sin anymore. Jesus took it all. We don't have to, we don't know, he said, we don't have to worry about sin on earth anymore because Jesus took all the sin.
Wow.
So I just got right in there. I said, if you choose to sin, your sin's not covered.
That's right.
Wow.
Jesus ain't took that one.
He hasn't took that one. Ooh, hallelujah. Who can deny that Jesus lived in those extremes? Don't tell people tell you you're extreme Christian. Hello, I am an extreme Christian.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I've been that way. I have never been politically correct or religious correct in my life.
Amen.
I am Word of God correct and Jesus correct.
Thank you.
I'm in the extreme. Yes. And I don't care what you think about me.
You are extreme.
Amen.
I agree.
We love you.
That's why I'm here.
His righteousness exposed those who were unrighteous because the power of an endless life energized him. The power of an endless life is in his blood. The Zoe of God, the power of an endless life, has been released to you through the blood of Jesus Christ when you receive his blood in communion.
Amen.
They wanted to kill him. Some will want to kill modern believers because righteousness energizes all who are his beloved. Donald Trump is standing for Christianity.
Yes.
The White House has Merry Christmas, and nativity scene has been returned back to the White House.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's been out for 8 years, I think. The nativity scene has been returned back.
Thank you, Lord.
Merry Christmas is everywhere. It's no longer cool to say happy holidays.
That's right. You can say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Rude.
My voice is carrying. I know it's carrying. I don't need a microphone. Hope I'm not too loud. I just...
Praise God.
But Jesus proved his point over and over again. He walked in the extremes that righteousness demands. He cleansed the temple, yet taught the common people in the same time frame. He cleansed the temple because he responded to the outcry of righteousness within himself. After all, the temple was occupied by great pretenders.
Yes, it was.
There's a lot of great pretenders in the church these days.
Yes, amen. It is.
They go for position, prestige, and position and prominence.
All right, appreciate that.
They look for a place of prominence. Mm-hmm. They want to be recognized. They want to be celebrated. They're the great pretenders. Luke 19:45. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to him. Now this thing with Israel is coming up. December the 1st, I guess it's on the table right now, of whether they're going to move the
embassy,
thank you, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This is key.
Wow.
This is a key prophetic action.
Amen.
We must believe that Donald Trump, he's a man of courage.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have the courage to do this because he's going to break loose all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going there. Okay. Maybe I'll go.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, Damascus. Mm-hmm. It's 11:56. I don't like much finishing it. Okay, Damascus.
Okay.
Wednesday night at prayer, I felt an unction that we've got to keep our eye on Damascus right now. They're having battles all around Damascus. Okay, and I posted this on the internet this week. When I get one of these words, I post it. Isaiah 17, since the beginning of whenever, Damascus has never been totally destroyed. Armies have come through, gone around it all the way. But Isaiah sealed Isaiah 17. That is a sealed word.
Yes.
That is sealed. And Damascus has never been destroyed. We got to keep our eyes on Damascus. Because when Damascus becomes a heap of ruin, then it's going to be a unsealing of that word. And we know through the book of Revelation, only the Lamb of God can unseal what has been sealed in the Word of God. Church, watch what goes on around Damascus. Help me finish this, Lord. Okay, so the Pharisees were trying to destroy Jesus. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on his words. Yes, pretense can mask being righteous, but it fails when it approaches its companion, holiness. One may feign righteousness. We know plenty of those, huh? But there's no way to feign holiness.
You can't fake it,
huh?
You can't fake holiness.
Mm-mm.
There is one more reason why righteousness is covenanted with holiness. Same words that meant healing, salvation, and deliverance to the multitudes were the one exposed to unrighteousness and pretense in the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus' righteous life gave new light to a people who were dwelling in the shadow and darkness of religious piety. Because the definition of righteousness was vague and ill-defined by hundreds of years of compromise and sin, the multitudes had grown accustomed to the vagaries of the pretenders. The pretenders ruled. That was normal. That was church as usual. That was all they knew, and that was what they expected church to be like. Got another word? Psalm 83 nations, and you've heard me say, around Israel. And all but two of them are bombing their borders all the time. Mm-hmm. And you know that Iran is not in that group. But Iran and Russia have moved to Syria. Mm-hmm. Iran and Russia are in the Gog Magog nations. Okay, the Gog Magog war and the Isaiah 17 war and the Psalm 83 war have not yet happened in fullness. Although the Lord told me, I think it was 2011, back a while ago, that the Psalm 83 war had begun. But we watch every day, Israel gets bombed somewhere by some of these nations. Only two of those nations are not bombing them. Okay, if we move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I don't know. Things are going to begin to break loose in that. But the Gog Magog, but Russia and Syria. Let me just stop and pray a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know what God is showing me here. North Korea is already in Iraq. And they have troops in Iraq. North Korea already has troops in Syria. And they're positioning their one world currency. Lord, I ask you to make this clear. And Lord, we just believe that things are being positioned. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we don't know your time, and but I ask you, Lord, for everything that's going on, that we trust that you have the oversight of heaven of the stars, mm-hmm. with the sun and the moon, right. with all the rulers of the earth. You move them around, all the nations of the earth, and of the United States of America. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me finish this. Jesus' life forms a genuine blend of holiness and righteousness. His righteousness poured out toward the lost and the diseased while simultaneously bringing judgment by comparison to those who lived otherwise. Righteousness will do two things. It will bring healing, life, and salvation, or it will bring judgment.
Yes.
Happen simultaneously. Light and darkness throughout the Bible. On the day of the Lord, it will be light for those who are walking with God. It will be darkness for those who are walking with the devil.
Amen. Amen.
So we can be assured that that's going to happen with all the nations of the earth. You cannot be persuaded that God is moving in the Congress of the United States of America and he is judging it. They're falling like flies.
Yeah.
The hour of the end demands those who are righteous to walk in that righteousness as a final call to a world grown accustomed to the pretenders. We have pretenders in Congress. They say one thing and behind closed doors they're doing another. We have pretenders in the church. Across the universe, the righteous are about to rise to their occasion. No longer will the pretenders find smooth sailing in the realm of religious ideas, which is what God showed me in that progressive church. The sword and the metal must be taken up by each saint, whether it causes his or her death or ends up causing revival. Revival is deep repentance and great deliverance. Like my dream of the two churches, religious enterprise will fail. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will not fail.
Amen.
Deep draws to deep, and he is drawing the saints who have received the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Daniel 7:18. To their deepest commitment in history, to exhibit in flesh that which dwells with the Father, holiness and righteousness, the inseparable twins in God. Holiness and righteousness in God and his people are irresistible, irrefutable, and incapable